Lesson 5. Outcomes. Explain chemical properties that aid in identifying potential hazards and predicting behavior of hazardous materials. Chemical properties. Chemical properties describe the chemical nature of a material and the behaviors and interactions that occur at a molecular level. Based upon its chemical properties, a hazardous material may present a wide variety of hazards. The hazards may vary from chemical hazards, such as toxicity, to physical hazards, such as flammability. This section describes the variety of hazards that arise from hazardous materials' chemical properties. This section also includes information on biological hazards. Flammability. Most hazardous materials incidents involve flammable materials. Flammable materials can damage life and property when they ignite, burn, or explode. Use a hazard's flammability to help determine incident strategies and tactics. A flammable hazard depends on properties, including its flashpoint, autoignition temperature, sometimes called the autoignition point. Flammable, explosive or combustible, range. Flashpoint is the minimum temperature at which a liquid or volatile solid gives off sufficient vapors at its lower explosive limit, LEL, to form an ignitable mixture with air near its surface. At its flashpoint, a material's vapors will flash in the presence of an ignition sour CE but will not continue to burn. Do not confuse flashpoint with fire point. Fire point is the temperature at which a liquid or volatile substance gives off enough vapors to support continuous burning. A material's fire point is usually only a few degrees higher than its flash point, figure 24.29. Only the vapors burn. The liquid or volatile solid that produces the vapors does not burn. As the liquid's temperature increases, it emits more vapors. Vapors are emitted below the flash point but not in sufficient quantities to ignite. A substance will not burn if it is not at its flash point temperature. Flammable gases have extremely low flash points, so they are flammable all the time. Autoignition temperature. The autoignition temperature of a substance is the minimum temperature to which the fuel and air must be heated to initiate self-sustained combustion without initiation from an independent ignition source. This temperature, also known as the ignition temperature, is the point at which a fuel spontaneously ignites. All flammable materials have autoignition temperatures, and these are considerably higher than the flash and fire points. For example, the autoignition temperature of gasoline is about 536 degrees Fahrenheit, 280 degrees Celsius, but the flash point of gasoline is minus 45 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 43 degrees Celsius. This difference means that at minus 45 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 43 degrees Celsius, gasoline will temporarily ignite if a match is waved through its vapors, whereas at 536 degrees Fahrenheit, 280 degrees Celsius, it ignites all by itself. The terms autoignition temperature and ignition temperature are often used synonymously. They are always the same temperature. However, the NFPA defines these terms separately. Flammable, explosive, or combustible range. The flammable, explosive, or combustible range is the percentage of the gas or vapor concentration in air that will burn or explode if ignited. The lower explosive limit, LEL, or lower flammable, explosive, limit, LFL, of a vapor or gas is the lowest concentration, or lowest percentage of the substance in air, that will produce a flash of fire when an ignition source is present. At concentrations lower than the LEL, the mixture is too lean to burn. The upper explosive limit, UEL, or upper flammable limit, UFL, of a vapor or gas is the highest concentration, or highest percentage of the substance in air, that will produce a flash of fire when an ignition source is present. At higher concentrations, the mixture is too rich to burn, figure 24.30. Within the upper and lower limits, the gas or vapor concentration will burn rapidly if ignited. Atmospheres within the flammable range are particularly dangerous. Table 24.1 provides the flammable ranges for some selected materials, NIOSH, 2016. Corrosivity. Corrosives are commonly divided into two broad categories, acids and bases. Bases are sometimes called alkalis or caustics. However, some corrosives, such as hydrogen peroxide, are neither acids nor bases. The corrosivity of acids and bases is often measured or expressed in terms of pH, figure 24.31. Acids and bases have the following characteristics. Acid, any chemical that ionizes, dissociates, to yield hydrogen ions, hydronium, in water. Acids have pH values of 0 to 6.9. An acid may cause severe chemical burns to flesh and permanent eye damage. Contact with an acid typically causes immediate pain. Hydrochloric acid, nitric acid, and sulfuric acid are examples of common acids. Base, alkalize, a water-soluble compound that chemically dissociates in water to form a negatively charged hydroxide ion. Bases react with an acid to form a salt by releasing an unshared pair of electrons to the acid or by receiving a proton, hydrogen ion, from the acid. Bases have pH values of 7.1 to 14. A base breaks down fatty skin tissues and can penetrate deeply into the body. Bases tend to adhere to the tissues in the eye, which makes them difficult to remove. Bases often cause more eye damage than acids due to the longer duration of exposure. Contact with a base does not normally cause immediate pain. A common sign of exposure to a base is a greasy or slick feeling of the skin, which is caused by saponification, the breakdown of fatty tissues. Examples of bases include caustic soda, potassium hydroxide, and other alkaline materials commonly used in drain cleaners. Saponification, the breakdown of fatty tissues. Reactivity. The chemical reactivity of a substance describes its relative ability to undergo a chemical reaction with itself or other materials. As a result, reactivity triangle pressure buildup, temperature increase, and/or formation of noxious, toxic, or corrosive byproducts may occur. Reactive materials commonly react vigorously or violently with air, water, heat, light, each other, or other materials. Many first responders are familiar with the fire tetrahedron or the four elements necessary to produce combustion, oxygen, fuel, heat, and a chemical chain reaction. Fire is just one type of chemical reaction. A reactivity triangle can be used to explain the basic components of many, though not all, chemical reactions: an oxidizing agent, oxygen, a reducing agent, fuel, and an activation energy source, often, but not always, heat, figure 24.32. All reactions require some energy to get them started, figure 24.33, commonly referred to as activation energy. How much energy is needed depends on the particular reaction. In some cases, heat from an external source provides the energy added heat from an external source, such as when starting a fire with a match. In some instances, radio waves, radiation, or another waveform of energy may provide the activation energy to the molecules, such as when food is heated in a microwave oven. In other reactions, the energy could come from a shock or pressure change, such as changes that might occur when nitroglycerin is jostled. Reactions that have low activation energies need little help to begin reacting. Materials that are generally classified as water reactive typically react with water easily at room temperature because the ambient temperature is sufficient to start the reaction. First responders may see terms such as light sensitive, heat sensitive, or shock sensitive on SDSs and/or manufacturers' labels, indicating that those products have an increased susceptibility to those sources of activation energy. See Table 24.2 for a summary of the different ways in which chemicals can be reactive. US EPA, Cameo, 2016. This table supplies the definition and chemical examples of 9 reactive hazard classes. The oxidizing agent in the reactivity triangle provides the oxygen necessary for the chemical reaction. Strong oxidizers are materials that encourage a strong reaction by readily accepting electrons from reducing agents, fuels. The greater the concentrations of oxygen present in the atmosphere, the hotter, faster, and brighter a fire will burn. The same principle applies to oxidation reactions. In general, the stronger the oxidizer, the stronger the reaction. Many organic materials ignite spontaneously when they come into contact with a strong oxidizer. An asphalt roadway could explode if liquid oxygen, a cryogenic liquid, spills on it and is accompanied by sufficient activation energy from shock or friction, such as someone stepping on it. Figure 24.34. The reducing agent in the fire tetrahedron acts as the fuel source for the reaction. It combines with the oxygen, or losing electrons to the oxidizer, in such a way that energy is being released. Oxidation reduction, redox, reactions can be extremely violent and dangerous because they release a tremendous amount of energy. Some reducing agents, fuels, are more volatile than others. Note, wood is not as prone to undergo rapid oxidation. It will not burn as easily as a highly flammable liquid such as MEK. Polymerization is a chemical reaction in which simple molecules combine to form long-chain molecules. Catalysts will increase the rate of polymerization and decrease the activation energy necessary for further polymerization. Examples of catalysts include light, heat, water, acids, or other chemicals. Uncontrolled polymerization often results in a tremendous release of energy. Materials that may undergo violent polymerization if subjected to heat or contamination are designated with AP in the blue and yellow sections of the Emergency Response Guidebook, ERG, Figure 24.35. Note, potential for polymerization may not be included on any type of reference material other than the ERG, and the ERG may not be fully inclusive of all polymerizing materials. The ERG is discussed in great detail in a later section of this chapter. Inhibitors are materials that are added to products that easily polymerize in order to control or prevent an undesired reaction. Inhibitors increase the needed activation energy. They may be exhausted over a period of time or when exposed to circumstances or unexpected contamination that causes them to be consumed more rapidly, such as exposure to heat or other reaction triggers. Shipments of polymerizing materials may become unstable if delayed during transport or involved in accidents. For example, time-sensitive inhibitors are added to liquid styrene before it is shipped in order to prevent the styrene from polymerizing during transport, Figure 24.36. If containers holding the styrene rupture or emergency responders add water, the inhibitor becomes exhausted, and the polymerization reaction begins. The sudden loss of containment due to polymerization is a chemical process that may not require an external heat source. Under emergency conditions, reactive materials can be extremely destructive and dangerous. Keep people and equipment upwind, uphill, and back a safe distance or in protected locations until pertinent facts are established and definite plans can be formulated. With advances in modern technology, more and more reactive and unstable materials are being used for various processes, and you must be prepared to deal with them. Radioactivity. In addition to recognizing radioactive material packaging, first responders need to understand basic protection strategies if radioactive materials or radiation are present at an incident. Radiation comes in different forms, some more energetic than others, Figure 24.37. The least energetic form of radiation is non-ionizing radiation such as visible light and radio waves. The most energetic and hazardous form of radiation is ionizing radiation. The following sections will address types of ionizing radiation, radioactive material, exposure and contamination. Types of ionizing radiation. Ionizing radiation can be divided into four types: alpha, beta, gamma, and neutron. Figure 24.38. Alpha, energetic, positively charged alpha particles, helium nuclei, emitted from the nucleus during radioactive decay that rapidly lose energy when passing through matter, Figure 24.39. They are commonly emitted in the radioactive decay of some man-made elements and the heaviest radioactive elements such as uranium and radium. Alpha particles do not travel far in open air. You may have to get very close to the source for the equipment to detect particles. Details. Alpha particles lose energy rapidly when traveling through matter and do not penetrate deeply. They can cause damage over a short path through human tissue. They are usually completely blocked by the outer, dead layer of the human skin, so alpha-emitting radioisotopes are not a hazard outside the body. However, they can be very harmful if the material emitting the alpha particles is ingested or inhaled. Alpha particles can be stopped completely by a sheet of paper. Beta, fast-moving, positively charged protons or negatively charged electrons emitted from the atom's nucleus during radioactive decay. Humans are exposed to beta particles from manufactured and natural sources such as tritium, carbon, 14, and strontium, 90. Details. Beta particles penetrate further than alpha particles but cause less damage over equally traveled distances. Beta particles are capable of penetrating the skin and causing radiation damage. However, as with alpha emitters, beta emitters are generally more hazardous when inhaled or ingested. Beta particles travel appreciable distances in air but can be reduced or stopped by a layer of clothing, a thin sheet of metal, or thick plexiglass. Detection distances for beta particles vary based on the activity of the source. Compared to alpha radiation, beta radiation will travel farther. Shielding beta emitters with dense metals can result in the release of X-rays, Bremsstrahlung radiation. Gamma, high-energy photons, weightless packets of energy like visible light and X-rays. Gamma rays of 10 accompany the emission of alpha or beta particles from a nucleus. They have neither a charge nor a mass, but are penetrating. One source of gamma radiation in the environment is naturally occurring potassium, 40. Common industrial gamma-emitting sources include cobalt, 60, iridium, 192, and cesium, 137. Details. Gamma radiation can easily pass completely through the human body or be absorbed by tissue. It constitutes a radiation hazard for the entire body. Gamma radiation levels vary depending on the isotope and activity, figure 24.40. Materials such as concrete, earth, and lead may be useful as a shield against radiation. Standard fire-fighting protective clothing provides no protection against gamma radiation. Neutron, particles that have a physical mass but have no electrical charge. Neutrons are highly penetrating. Fission reactions produce neutrons along with gamma radiation. Neutron radiation can be measured in the field using specialized equipment. Details. Soil moisture density gauges, often used at construction sites, are a common source of neutron radiation. Neutrons may also be encountered in research laboratories or operating nuclear power plants. Shielding from neutron radiation requires materials with high amounts of hydrogen, such as oil, water, and concrete. X-rays and gamma rays are high-energy electromagnetic radiation commonly referred to as photons. The hazards of these types of radiation are directly correlated to their activity. For the purposes of this manual, they are identical and should be treated the same. Machines such as those found in medical facilities and airports are almost exclusively the sole source of terrestrial X-ray radiation. Since machines can only produce X-rays when powered on, the chances of encountering X-rays at a hazardous materials incident are rare. Radioactive material exposure and contamination. Radioactive materials, RAM, emit ionizing radiation. Incidents involving radioactive materials are uncommon because they are strictly governed in use, packaging, and transportation. However, there is some concern that radioactive materials could be used in a terrorist attack. Radiation exposure occurs when a person is near a radiation source and is exposed to the energy from that source. Exposure and damage are not necessarily related. A first responder will need to know the types of radiation that will cause damage and what proximity or level of exposure will cause what kinds of harm, figure 24.41. Radioactive material, RAM material with an atomic nucleus that spontaneously decays or disintegrates, emitting radiation as particles or electromagnetic waves at a rate of greater than 0.002 microcuries per gram, Ci/G. A person may receive a dose of radiation based upon the length of exposure, energy, and type of source, alpha, beta, gamma, or neutron. Exposure to radioactive material does not make a person or object radioactive. Damage is often described in terms of dosage, indicating the amount of energy absorbed by matter. Radioactive contamination occurs when radioactive material is deposited on surfaces, skin, clothing, or any place where it is not desired. Radiation does not spread, radioactive material and contamination spread. Exposure to radiation alone does not contaminate a person. Contamination only occurs when the radioactive material remains on a person or the person's clothing after coming into contact with a contaminant. A person can become contaminated externally, internally, or both. Radioactive material can enter the body via one or more routes of entry. An unprotected person contaminated with radioactive material receives radiation exposure until the source of radiation, radioactive material, is removed. Radiation detectors capable of detecting alpha and beta contamination can detect radioactive contamination. Note the following examples. A person is externally contaminated and receives external exposure when radioactive material is on the skin or clothing. A person is internally contaminated and receives internal exposure when radioactive material is breathed, swallowed, or absorbed through wounds. The environment is contaminated and radioactive material is spread about or is unconfined. Environmental contamination is another potential source of external exposure. Note, some contamination, such as alpha contamination, often requires the detector to be almost touching the source. Radiation health hazards. The effects of ionizing radiation occur at the cellular level.